Blog Talk Radio.
The cards are relying on me. Shall break every chain. Conquering lion, shall break every chain. Give him the victory again and again.
Get the lines open. Let's see. Brother DeWatt, you on?
Yeah, I'm here. You there?
All right. Shabbat shalom.
Brother Drew.
Yes, sir.
Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. We got a good one today, Brother Drew, because we're going to do a little deep investigation on questions to ask. We're still coming out of the book, Questions to Ask the Preacher. So my first page in the book, in that pamphlet, tells you, we ask ourselves a question: what is Christianity? What is the history of Christianity, and where did it come from? And the only way we're going to do that is we have to study history. Everything is wrote down. If it's whatever is in existence right now, well, it had a beginning. And fortunately, somebody wrote down the beginning of everything that's in creation, meaning that everything you see in creation is a word. And each language that people have, they have a dictionary to describe those words. And we're going to be in Canaanite language today, the worst language that you can read is white folks' language is read from left to right. Colored people, which we are, Brother Drew, our language is read from right to left. So we know that we have to know how to speak backwards in this language. When I was in high school, we had our coach named Coach Joe Jacks. He was a baseball and football and basketball coach. He was awesome in baseball. He taught me all of my stuff of how to wiggle the leg. He was a left-hand pitcher that had played with the Houston before he came to Crockett and started teaching. He had hurt his leg. And I laugh, we all laugh about him. He's still living. And he married my cousin. And if you was in his class, and you were going to be in his class, for 2 years you had to take biology from him. In those 2 years, you were going to dissect a dog, a cat, and a frog. Now, animal society would probably put him in jail, but we would dissect that. And he said the only way that you can prosecute something, meaning that you know something, you had to dissect it. So this is what we're going to do today. What my old teacher, Joe Jacks, taught me in high school, which was my baseball and football coach, he taught me to dissect things. We finna dissect so we can prosecute somebody, because, see, ain't nobody that look like me and you done did this shit, Brother Drew.
Right.
We just accepted some shit that was given to us through a centralized system of what is called institutionalized. And so, if you got a doctor's degree with a magna cum laude, some would go like, you damn sure is an institutionalized ass nigga shit to the highest degree of masculinity. So when you like me and you, Brother Drew, we understand that they done put us up under a system, then we have to go back and do what them niggas didn't do in 1870 when they was freed off the plantation 144 years ago. Check out everything that white daddy done give us. So, hell, we done did that. And see, we found out that white daddy done told us a goddamn lie. And if you so blind that you can't see that and your mind can't get jump-started in 2017, we also know that your ass is completely genocized. And we also know that it ain't but a few of us that ain't genocized, Brother Drew. We already know that. We already know that. But one of the ways that we can prosecute his ass, and I want everybody that's in my class, Brother Drew will tell you, when I was teaching classes, we always started with the nitty-gritty, with meaning in a chronological order. We started with number one. That's how we studied. That's the only way that you can know how number one became number two and number three. And in the case of the first religion and the oldest religion, and the only way that we can understand religion, we have to first start with the first religion to understand how other religions got started. And when we start with religion, we start at 4000 B.C. That's the time period we're going to go back and into that time period, 4000 B.C., with Shem's people in India. You know, Christopher Columbus was lost when he was calling us over here in the Western Hemisphere Indians. That motherfucker was lost like a mother. We're going back to Shem's people in the Eastern Hemisphere, where their language is Sanskrit and their god is Hinduism. That's their religion, Hinduism. But when we go back and study Hinduism, Brother Drew, we'll see that Hinduism is a religion and a faith. All present-day religion and all present-day gods that people worship as their gods came out of this religion. That's what we're going to find out when we study this and prosecute these niggas' asses. We prosecutors today. See, we got their ass on the stand and holding trial on their ass about some shit that they brought over here from the east
right.
to the west and tried to bullshit the niggas over here, the Creek Nation, and over here in the west about these goddamn gods that they brought over here to get us done. And see, we still that same nation of people that ain't never signed a goddamn peace treaty with these motherfuckers that come over here. So we ain't signed no peace treaty. Goddamn, the Creek Nation ain't signed no goddamn peace treaty with these motherfuckers that come over here. If they ill, show it to me. We ain't signed now. So me and you, Brother Drew, we still at war. But goddamn, the only way that you can start a war and understand something, you have to first understand why you in this got in this condition, which is called counterintelligence, which we know that we've been put up on the psychological, biological, chemical, germ, and psychological warfare. I mean, you shit the history of us. Anything that's colored, you've been hit with all five of them from a Germanic race of people that came out of the northern hemisphere called the Caucasus Mountains that used to look like us. But that's over across the water. See, that's the history of them three fucking hemispheres over there. We're going to bust the duty hole out on this because we're going to start. Hinduism is a faith of 330 million different gods. Did you hear me, Brother Drew, what I just said?
Uh-huh.
And see, every religion, we going to find Hinduism in it. The rituals, the pre-feast days, everything. It ain't no goddamn different. Every religion, I don't give a damn what religion it is. And each religion came out of these 330 million gods. See, and we going to find out what America, this religion called Christianity, we go first find out where it come from and how it got started and what was it when it first got started and who started this shit and where it came out of. So to understand Christianity. So to understand that, we start first in Hinduism, which was 4,000 B.C. This is Shem people. And when the southern kingdom got a hold to it, that's Ham's people, that's you goddamn Africans. As y'all know and call yourselves today, the Africans. Can is a Greek word for God. And Afro, what I want to know. See, and so we have to ask ourselves this name, Jesus, is translated back to Jesus. And Jesus is a God, and the word Christ is translated back to Krishna. Called Krishna, Christ is Krishna, all the way back to Hinduism. So we are looking. We got to go into Hinduism and look up the word Krishna and find out who the hell Krishna is. Now, Krishna, who is Christ, is a naughty child who grew up to be an enormous cat herder and slayer of the evil Kamash. Now, Kamash, who is Kamash? He's the evil one. That's the devil. That's what y'all, who y'all call the devil in this language here. This is who Christ is. You see, Jesus, Jesus, is the God of Western Rome, which is Druid, and Krishna, which was Eastern Rome, which was the Hindu people lived, their God was Krishna. And when the 4th century, going into the 4th century, Constantine, when Western side of Rome, which was white folks, said that they were going to fight the colored folks up there, the niggers, who God was the most powerful God, and so Constantine intervened in them and said that both gods was equal in Rome, and that the gods of Rome would be known as Jesus Krishna, that's both of them, and he would be the Promus Maximum, the ruler over these gods, to govern them on how they supposed to act. And he became the Promus Maximus. And he said, up under this title, Promus Maximus. Remember that word, Promus Maximus. That's what we have to remember. See, we're going step by step how this shit got out of way, where we can see Christianity, where it really come from. Now, here's Jesus Krishna and the Roman Catholic Church. They gave the Roman Catholic Church up under Constantine, the priesthood, up under the supervision of Constantine. We see gave them Constantine's religion. So we ask ourselves a question. What was Constantine's religion? It was Mithraism. They worship a god called Mithra. But now let's ask ourselves a question. Who the fuck is Mithra? Well, Mithra is the god of light in Hinduism. And how Mithra got its start, let's do a little history on Mithra, understand the story. Mithra is an old Persian, Iranian, Carthaginian god of the upper air. It was worshipped from the period 400 BC to 200 AD. Mithra, which is Hindu, and Mithras, which is Roman, cut throughout eras of Persian influence. It was the god of the Roman, Greco-Roman soldiers, derived from the Indian Persian model. He became predominant among the military throughout the Roman Empire during the 1st and 2nd century as a god symbolizing loyalty and truth. Rituals was performed in an underground temple. Mithraism and involved the sacrifice of a bull. Mithraism on the Roman influence was an exclusive male cult. And the reason that the Romans pick up this, they got it from the Carthaginians. This is when the Carthaginians was colored people. They ain't colored people no more. But the Carthaginians was some jet black people. I mean blue-black. The skin was blue-black. They had the greatest navy known to mankind in that period in time. They never was defeated. And during that time, the warrior, all the god worshippers that worship warriors of these male cults, whoever God won the war, that's who God was the most powerful. The Romans never did defeat the Carthaginians, so they started worshiping the gods that Carthaginian worship, which was Mithra, And by the time of Constantine, it had flourished so far, they had started becoming conquerors up under the name of Mitra. The Roman army got powerful up under this male cook called Mitra. And all the ceremonies, feast days of Mitraism is wrote down. And where we find it is in the church, Brother Drew. We find this dead in present day, what is called modern day Christianity, is nothing but Mitraism.
Uh-huh.
And so we had to do that, because first we had to understand Constantine and the Roman. We had to explain the beliefs and practice seen today. Mitraism is about the worship of the sun, which was titled Mitra Solus Evictus, the conquering sun. The mysteries of this religion was real only to the initiated, who was predominant, all soldiers of the Roman army. This religion spread all over the civilized world. By the good Roman road, Mitra was the primary religion of all Rome to the 4th century. And Constantine, you had to understand this. And you had to understand that this is where your religion of Christianity began. It's the beginning of it. This the way it was in the beginning. And what's so killing about it, Brother Drew, is that at 2017, the feast days, the holidays, the beliefs,
uh-huh,
of Mitra, and what so we find so as we prosecute these asses is that all we have to do is ask us a question. The chief of Christianity is called the Promus Maximus. The news media call him the Pope, that's in Vatican City. But that ain't his title. His title is Promus Maximus. And every 49 masses that the Roman Catholic Church do, every last one of them is the same rituals of Mitra. This is why some people realize this at certain periods in time and broke away from Roman Catholic beliefs of these masses that they perform, spoken in their language, Latin, and you could only speak it in that language. It's only spoken that language now. You couldn't speak it in other language because it loses its quality and it loses its power and its energy if you spoke it in another language. So we still got this in today's society. The Pope do his shit in Latin. You understand a goddamn thing, he said. My grandmother spoke it and taught it. I got a whole lot of goddamn Latin books over here. I can't understand none of that shit. But Big Mama got how to teach it. And all that. I got over 20 or 30 books that Big Mama had on how to teach Latin and shit. Because she spoke it, and that was my mama speak it. Sang in it and all that. I could learn how to sing in it, but I couldn't learn how to speak it and write it. My uncle wrote in it. All doctors used to write the prescriptions out of Latin. I find that very interesting, Brother Drew. To hide what the doctors was giving to you, only the pharmacists and the doctors could read a prescription. And all the prescriptions was wrote in Latin, which is called a dead language, which is the hidden language, which is wrote in codes. I find that really interesting, you know, when we go back and we just look at shit, you know, how we've been hoodwinked, cable-told, and bullshitted. I mean, how some people have fucked with our minds with a lie. That's what we're doing right now when we bust this shit right down the middle, right down that, bust it dead in the head. Like Daddy said, go for the damn jugular vein. When you go for the jugular, daddy say, goddamn, cut a nigga in his throat, crack in his goddamn throat, just stand back and watch his heart pump 27 times in his ass, a kill over, shoot blood straight up in the middle of the eye. Well, that's what your ass will do. Somebody cut you in your jugular vein. And that's what we're doing now, is cutting a motherfucking liar in his jugular vein, Brother Drew. We're whooping on that ass.
Right.
And see, now, let's go back and look at some shit. We can see that from the 4th century to the 6th century, there came a split in the church. The Jacobites and the Coptic church left the Roman Catholic church because they was practicing Mithraism. You can ask any of the Jacobite churches right now, and the Coptic church, which is Ethiopian church, they got a Coptic preacher over there, Mr. K, on Malcolm X. It used to be Oglon, but Malcolm X, I think it's Malcolm X, they call that old Oglon, K's Hill. You know where Mr. K's Hill, Drew?
Yeah, that's Malcolm X.
Yeah, you know, Mr. K is a Coptic minister, preacher.
Oh, I didn't know
got
that.
A cop.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, shit, I've been knowing him for 30-something years. I met him 35 years ago. Shit, he low-key, brother. Real low-key.
Yeah?
He low-key.
Yeah.
Hell, you don't hear nothing about Mr. K in the community.
No.
Shit,
nope.
You heard nothing about him. Or the Coptic church.
I don't think I ever seen Mr. K.
Mr. K, he'd be behind him. If you go to the grocery store, he's a big fat. He's a fat, jolly man that's behind the counter.
Oh, okay.
I met him because when I met him, I looked at him, and I told him that, I said, you look like one of them little old brown boy coming from Etho. And he laughed. He said, I am that. You know, I said, hell, you kind of look Coptic to me. Your signs and symbols give you away, boy. Didn't you know that when you're talking to the old y'all man? He said, what? I say, you come from the east to the west over here. You brought your butt drops in. I say, and I was looking at you when you got your ass off that boat, little old Ethiopian man. He said, I recognize your voice. He said, you old KKTA. He say, I'm Mr. K. He say, meatball, I'm Mr. K. It ain't no use to be lying to you. He say, yeah. He say, I'm the Coptic minister here. I said, well, man, I'd like to sit down with you and rap with you, and you tell me something. I know your damn history, but coming from you, I want to hear what you were taught when you was a child, because he was taught some inner stuff that there's some shit up in that mountain that only them people know what's up in that mountain that they took from the Catholic Church, the Coptics, when they left out of there. See, St. Augustine, you see, they understand he was the one that was against the city, the black one. He was Coptic. They would call him the desert monks. And they were known as that. But then they went up and then carved out the mountains up there and went up there,
mm-hmm.
The Coptic Church. Is that, but they, man, they got some heavy knowledge. Mr. K, heavy person to talk to. I used to go by, I think I might pay him a visit. I ain't seen him, I ain't talked to him in 10 years, boy. But they broke away because of, they said, too much Mithraism. They was worshiping Mithra. That's what Saint Augustine, Augusta, whatever you want to call it. When they broke away, and in 1025 A.D., your Orthodox churches broke away. That's your Jewish Orthodox, your German, Russian Orthodox, German, Ireland Orthodox, all your Orthodox churches that's overseas that broke away from the Catholic Church, and they accused them of practicing Mithraism, Brother Drew. But, and they broke away and said that Jesus Krishna's birthday was on the 17th of January and not December the 25th. And you can go on TV every January and you're going to see all your Orthodox church doing Christmas. They televise the shit now. But I find it simply amazing, Brother Drew, when we look at the Orthodox church, hell, tell me what's different from the Roman Catholic Church. They priests, they everything. They got the high hat, they got everything. They might have broke away. See, this is what you know, what people fail to understand. They broke away. What was the reason they broke away? They broke away, but they continued the same service. When the Protestants broke away, when the angelic gospel, you still, if the modern day Christianity now ain't nothing but Roman Catholic without the masses. Now, they don't do the masses. That's the only thing that's different with all of these churches that broke away. They don't have mass in Latin. That's the only thing. I mean, when we're studying this, I mean, ain't no use. We can't be ignorant no more. We prosecuting some masses. And we got to get down to the nitty-gritty. Common sense tells us that. We don't take no goddamn rocket scientists to figure this shit out. We're using common sense. We go in and get the story and look at the story and analyze this damn story. This is what we do over here. This is what a yobman do.
Right.
I mean, you brought the shit over here. This is your goddamn doctrine. See? And let's look at it. The center of Mithraism, sun culture, was at Rome. The leader of the ritual service was called Pater, Latin for father, inherited by the priestcraft of Catholicism. That's found in Matthew 23:9, and wore crucifix and amulets with costumes of black, having collars originated with the Indo-Ireland roots. This Papa, or Pope in this language, the hierarchy initiated called brothers. The Papas was called brothers, but the leader of the cult was the Promus Maximus. And then you got Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Each one of them is gods pagan gods. The pattern of which to rest on Sunday comes directly through what is called the Blue Law, which ain't enforced no more, Brother Drew. Did you hear me, Brother Drew? See?
Yes, sir.
The day of rest was Sunday. And the United States had the Blue Law on your ass on this. But after 1970, ain't no goddamn more Blue Law now. Because everything open on Sunday.
Right.
In some states, you can buy alcohol on Sunday. I mean, hard liquor. You buy alcohol after 12, I think, on Sunday here, right?
You could just buy the beer, but not the alcohol.
Yeah, but Louisiana, Kentucky, the Commonwealth states said you can buy goddamn alcohol.
Yeah, Las Vegas.
Yeah. So you can buy alcohol, but that was enforced first throughout the Roman Empire, then through the Western tradition of our New World. They said that we honored Sunday to give honor to the sun god Mitra. There was five levels from within the hierarchy. December 25th was observed as Mitra's birthday. It was called the Natalis Invictus, the rebirth of the winter sun unconquered, meaning that December the 21st, which is the shortest day of the year, that's when Cole put them damn goats and shit in the ground on your head. And that winter solstice, Cole put a goat in the ground for your ass.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And initiated had to undergo a ritual sprinkling, a fishing which can call being under a bull or tyrus, which being cut to death allowed the initiate to become saturated with blood. The custom of bloody bullfights seen in Spain harkened all the way back to this custom. The custom of being Christian baptized in the spring and Easter time would take on greater meaning as you learn the following information. Special values were attributed to the moral vision of God. Mitraism could enter paradise through three steps: a good thought, the good word, the good deed. And we can see that this is the same teaching of Christianity. Now, this church that broke away in the 5th century, the Jacobites, which is of England, all of King James' descendants are Jacobites. So King James was a Jacobite, and the Jacobites wasn't Christians. They wasn't Christian. They didn't classify themselves as Christians. They came out of Hinduism, the worshiping of Hinduism upon the 300 million different Hindu gods that had broke away, and Mitra was the chief god. As we study, that's what we see, that when they broke away, they kept on saying this birthday, Easter. These days didn't leave out of none of these cults, none of these breakaway. Now, when we get to the Western Church, the break in the 15th century, this was the end of the medieval time period of the church. Always remember that the church, from the 4th century, when it got started, Christianity got started in the 4th century, all the way to the 15th century, was called a medieval period in time history of the church, middle of evil. Now look up that word evil, and they was in the middle of evil. The whole time period of the church was in the middle of evil doings. You had to understand that. And I find it very simply goddamn amazing. If you graduated from any colored high school, your ass had history. I know I graduated from one in 64. Ralph Bunch, right. Negro colored high school, your ass had history. And Big Bopper taught me history. Charles Field. He lived three houses. I grew up around Big Charles Field, all of us was, and his nickname on college here was Big Bopper. All the children, the little children, we called his ass the Big Bopper, and then that big fat ass fucker, I told him, your ass came back to teach at our school when everybody that done called him Big Bopper, when we was 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, 9 years old, and he was a teenager then. Everybody called him Big Bopper. He'd bring his big ass back to school to teach us, and we couldn't call him Big Bopper no more. We had to call him Mr. Fields. And that was hard because time one of us would slip and say Big Bopper, and he was the Lions football coach, on your ass he would go. On your ass he would go.
Oh, yeah.
Because he got me two times. I was fucking around and forgot. I said, oh, Big Bopper. He said, what you say, little wife? Bring your ass in. And I'm telling you, man, all of history, and I got my history book from that time period. All of this was in your 11th and 12th grade history book. Taught to you, the history was taught to you in high school of the medieval time period in this white man's history. He taught you. But you're suffering from amnesia right now, especially if you graduated in 1964. So we can see, Brother Drew, that this school system, it gave you a skeet taste of the truth, knowing that after 10 years of you being out of high school, what they taught you, your ass be done forgot it. Significant part, especially
right.
History. You didn't like history. You didn't like mathematics. You didn't like English. You didn't like nothing but sports, music, and sex. And see,
yeah.
Well, that's really the black community can't go no further than sports, music, and sex. They can't get out of that mentality because you was taught the truth at a certain period of time, but to forget it. That's how the system works. That's what kind of system we've been.
Yeah. And I can testify to that, brother DeWall can testify to that because there was some stuff came up. I said, I ain't going to need that in the future. I don't need that. I said, it ain't going to help me where I was going. So that was the mindset.
Yeah, and see, this time period is very important to what you say you believe. And we're going down this time period. And we're seeing that Christianity, what is called modern-day Christianity, Mithraism. Now, this book that the Western Church, let's go back to the Western Church, the 15th century Reformation of the Church. That's when the Eastern Church and the Western Church broke away from each other. They was one church, but they broke. Well, when the Western Church broke away, they became angelic gospel Christian Episcopal teaching of the Western churches upon the Paulinian doctrine. This is what they say they believed in the West. That's over here, across the waters. That's what the churches over here said that they believe in the Western Hemisphere, this teaching, which was brought over here. This teaching was brought over here, and then they adopted it as a Western Hemisphere teaching in the 15th century. And it was upon the Paulinian doctrine of the Apostolic Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Tertullian Creed. But when they did that, Brother Drew, the Angelicals said that this was Angelica Gospel Christian Episcopal teaching, but due to the fact it was up under Paulinian teaching, you had the high church, the low church, the broad church. And the high church was pure Angelica, and the low church was where the Angelicals brought. But the churches that believed in the Apostolic Creed, the Nicene Creed, and Tertullian Creed, those churches was the low broad church teaching. It was called broad church teaching up on the high church, low church, broad church teaching. Now, you niggas asses in 1870 was given broad church teaching doctrine that the good white folks over here, the Angelicas, say is broad church teaching. Are they right? You damn speffy, they right. Because the Apostle Creed and the Nicene Creed doesn't agree upon a God that came in 1523 named Jesus Christ. His name got changed to Jesus Christ teaching. It don't add up. They ain't the same. See, because Jesus Christ's teaching was one way. His priesthood, according to the Bible, was in the order of Melchizedek. And we'll come back to Chizedek, but we're talking right here that the Apostle Creed say that love is translated into eros, phalo, agape, and stoge. There are four kinds of love. The church under the Apostle Creed, which is the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Catholic, and the Romans, say that all four loves, Jesus accept those four loves. The Nicene Creed different from you. The Nicene Creed say love is agape love, that's God, and eros, male and female. The Apostle Creed Church, which is the Presbyterian, the Methodist, the Catholic, and Episcopalian, said that love is eros, man and woman, phalo, man and man, stoge, woman and woman, and agape, God. It says, Jesus said it's all right if you be all four of them. Now, we can see that in history, that this teaching did not take over to a black president come into existence and pass the bill. When the black house, when the White House became the Black House, it became the Rainbow House. We can see that. We know we were looking at when this came into existence that the majority of the people that in a place called America is think the way the Apostle Creed churches think, because we got too many laws that's going on right now. Who gonna piss in the bathroom? Or what you pissing and shitting in the restroom with? See, you can see that when me and you was little boys, this shit wasn't here.
Right.
But now it's here through liberalism. And see, through the teaching of Jesus Christ. This happened on Jesus' watch, because these people over here said that it was all right, but these people over here different. So we can see that the Nicene teaching, which is that of the Baptists, they was correct in that part, but they still got damn incorrect because they up under the Nicene Creed. And here's what I find very simply amazing, Brother Drew. Each one of them creeds at the bottom, you know what you're going to read? We believe in the Catholic Church. At the Apostle Creed, at the end of each one of those creeds, it says, we believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, and the life and the resurrection of Jesus. Each one of those creeds end like that. And you ask any one of these ignorant-ass niggas that call themselves Methodist, Baptist, have they ever heard of these two creeds? They ain't never heard of them, especially the Baptists. But the people that believe in the Apostle Creed every Sunday morning, they ask, say it. And they sit up there and say, I believe in the Catholic Church. And then if you ask them, do they believe in the Catholic Church, they tell you no. Brother, that's the biggest goddamn fool that ever walked the face of the fucking earth. hear you every Sunday morning in a Methodist church or a Presbyterian church or an Episcopalian church or a Catholic church, and you say the Apostle Creed, and you say that say this about I believe in the Catholic Church, and then you turn around and tell me, no, you don't.
Right.
Confused. That's a fool. That confused ain't even the word. That was a religion came in the in 4 BC called Confucianism. They might be practicing that shit.
That's a good one.
At 450, when we trace the history of religion, we'll see Confucianism coming in 450. Now, we can go and see all the masses, everything in the Catholic Church is strictly Mithraism, and to the point where the Catholics they wrote in their encyclopedia, they wrote the date that they changed everything. See. They told you everything that they changed and what they rearranged and what they went through, and all of the scriptures in the Bible tell you about this, about everything that you say you believe in. When we look at this book called Bible, let's see what we got. What is called the Old Testament is the Torah and the Tanakh. These 39 books is the history of two kingdoms, Yasharal and Yehuda. In this language, that would be Israel and Judah. Israel had 21 kings. Judah had 19. When you read what is called the Old Testament, there ain't no such thing as the Old Testament. These are the Torah. The first five books of Moses. Moses wrote 12 books. The first five books of Moses had the teaching of the old form of Yahwehism in it, the complete way of Yahweh. The other 34 books called the Tanakh is the history of the Yehudas and Yasharal breaking away from the teaching of Yahwehism and start worshiping Hinduism of the land, of the people that surrounded them. That's what these first books. Then you got in the Bible the four Gospels. The four Gospels is the Quran. The four Gospels of Jesus that you find in the King James 1881 Revised Version of the 1523 William Shakespeare Tenth Bible, you find that the Quran is the four Gospels, which was 72 of those Gospels, but the four that they put in is the Injil and the Quran, the teaching of Jesus in the Quran. That's the Quran. The New Testament is Romans. Do it with nothing but the Romans, the Roman Catholic Church, and the belief of the Roman people at that time period. All the New Testament, every book in it, is about Roman history, Roman beliefs, Roman gods, Roman walls, how Romans conquered the world, and how at the time that they became Greco-Romans, at the time period of Alexandria, where they said that this influence, they had conquered that world over there in the east, that everybody for 2,000 years would believe in Greco-Roman beliefs and Greco-Roman gods. Well, that shit happened over there in the east, over across the water, not over here, not over here. We're talking about across the water. We're talking about the history across the water, not over here. Don't get over there fucked up with over here and think that over here is over there. It ain't that a way. We talking about over there. Well, we can see where that influence is still here. We can see where the Romans is still the conquerors, because every nation of people is controlled by a Germanic race of people now. That's the Romans. That's what the Bible, the stories that's in them books tell you. Ain't nothing holy about them. It ain't nothing but a goddamn history book that was written in 1881 by some Jews to put out and make legalized at the Grand Sanhedrin meeting in 1889. Go read your protocol. It's all in the protocol of the learned elders of Zion. You had to know who the chosen people of God is. Hell, that's the Zionist Jews. It ain't your ass. And they brought that shit over here. And see, when we go down and we study the shit like this, Brother Drew, and look at it, and look at what the lie that done been told us, see, then we understand something else, Brother Drew. The original Holy Trinity was Mama first, Daddy second, and children third. In this male religion, this is how you can bust their ass in. They Holy Trinity, as we speak now, let you know that it is strictly a male religion. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Now, the Father, the Son, and this Holy Ghost was, according to their religion, this Holy Ghost that you got here in this Holy Trinity was what you became when you died and went to heaven, which used to be called Valhalla, but the Roman, Greco-Roman, it became heaven when they became Greco-Roman. Got no female in the Holy Trinity. None whatsoever. Christianity, Islam, all these, it's male chauvinist religion created by a male cult. This is why you ain't got this in the Holy Trinity. This is why you absent. This is why Adam was able to produce from his ribs a female. This is why that story got connected. So in the Holy Trinity of colored people, the female is number one because she's the creator on earth. She represents the creator here on earth. We know this. Number two is the Father. He's the provider. He's supposed to provide. And the first commandment would be fruitful and multiply. That don't mean selfish. Be fruitful and multiply means you got to do some boom booming and produce the other part of the Trinity, which is called your children, your offspring, your siblings. This is the correct way. But you've been taught to be celibate. You've been taught that you're supposed to do this and supposed to do that. That's someone else teaching. That is not the teaching. You being right. Celibate, you out of balance. I don't give a damn if you male or female. You out of balance. You are out of balance. You have to be balanced. Be fruitful and multiply was your first commandment. And because we live in a dualist system, which is the laws of opposite, and you have to be balanced.
the third law of nature. And you nature boy and she nature girl. And due to the fact that you can't see this, this brings out a lot of imbalance in you, you know, because Christian teaching teaches different. And most people, Brother Drew, I say, I'm a Muslim, I'm an Arab, but shit, you goddamn talk to them your belief in how what you believe in, it's Christianity to the max. It's Christianity.
Right.
So we'll continue next week. I see that clock is saying we're at that point, but Shema Yahawadah, Yah, Abin Yah, Ika, Kamadi Yah. Until next week, Brother Drew, I'll holler at you.
All right.